Jesus. Jesus. It is a descriptor that allows people to make quick judgments about the person of whose name we speak or hear. I've been blessed with the name Engel. In this community and around the Brethren in Christ Church, that has immediate judgments as a result of my grandparents, great-grandparents, and my parents. In this community, my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents had great reputations, reputations of integrity and compassion, and a few other things as well. Because of that, I have inherited the goodwill of many people just simply because I've inherited that name. I've been blessed with family who shared good reputation, and that has made a difference in my life. However, it is true to say that it's not fair to judge a person by their name. Just because my family in the past has had a good reputation doesn't mean that I'm the same kind of person that my parents were. Just as it is not true that every person who claims to be a Christian shares the character of Jesus. A warning. We need to be careful when judging a person by their name. Having said all this, there is one name that has been given by God Himself that has meaning and power and will forever stand for integrity and truth, and that is the name of Jesus. In the Greek, the name Jesus means Savior. Savior. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus, Jesus means Savior, one who comes and brings life and salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Salvation, forgiveness, redemption, heaven comes only through the name and person of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. There's no other way to salvation, to heaven, other than the person and name of Jesus Christ. There are many in our world that say there are many ways to come to God. There is no other name, no other person through which salvation comes except through Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus. Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That scripture states, if you believe in your heart. The scripture's not talking about our physical heart, is it? It's talking about the depth of who we are, our spirit, our soul, our inner being, our mind. If you believe with your heart, if you come to the place where your understanding and belief about who God is and Jesus Christ is at the very depth of your being. It's that kind of belief that God's calling us to. It's not a surface belief that someone says something is true and we say, oh, okay. It's something that's much deeper, much fuller, much more complete. It's the depth of our heart that God's calling to. And then, if we profess with our mouth, I stand and I joyfully acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of my life. These verses are the very core of what it means to become a Christ follower, to become one who says, I am a Christian. These verses are at the very heart of that. My profession of faith, my speaking the name of Jesus, my acknowledging that Jesus is Lord of my not life, that is that which is at the depth of who I am. My profession of faith is lived out with integrity, honoring Jesus. When I speak the name of Jesus, it is with honor and the respect and power that is due his name. These verses are at the very core, at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian, to be a Christ follower. Believe in our heart and acknowledge with our mouth. And I think it's critical that when we make that statement, acknowledge with our mouth, that we understand that what's being said is what we speak with our mouth is what we live out with our lives. Integrity, the integrity of our testimony. The name Engel, and for many of you, that is a name that reminds you of my great-grandfather, Wagaman, M.G. Engel, who was a bishop in the church and a minister in the church, and who one of the stories about him was when he went into restaurants, he would pray before he ate, and he wouldn't pray quietly, but he would pray loudly and give expression to his faith in his Savior, Jesus Christ, and God. And then a more quiet expression of my family's faith through my dad. Now, my grandfather, Engel, Earl, was not as verbal or as demonstrative in his witness and testimony. And that also is part of my heritage and part of what people remember. And some of you may remember that as well. But my dad had a deep, deep love for God and Jesus Christ. And his life was one that demonstrated that in many ways. But for us, how we live out, how we speak, how we acknowledge the reality of our love of God makes a difference, not only for who we are, but for those who walk around us and live within the scope of our influence. And we need to remember that. From Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he has become much superior to the angels, as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. I inherited the name Engel from my ancestors. Jesus inherited his name, Jesus, from God the Father. Jesus is the exact representation of God. Jesus and God are one. Now, I've inherited the name Engel. My dad was bald like me. My brother's bald like me. I inherited that, but those of us who understand all of the genetic stuff understand that actually my bald head came from my mother and not my dad, even though we are alike in our baldness. But Jesus inherited the exact likeness of the Father, the scripture says. Jesus inherited his name from the Father. Jesus, this name that is above every name, Jesus is the exact likeness of the Father. Jesus inherited his name from the Father, and Jesus was part of the creation. Jesus is one with the Father. The Lord God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, are one. The name Jesus and the person of Jesus, it says, is superior to every other name and being, even above the angels, the scripture states. But as we think of it, in the name of Jesus and the person of Jesus is superior to every other name that has ever been in existence or will ever come to be in existence. Jesus, the name above every name. From Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus, the name that is above every name. Jesus, at his name, every knee should bow, giving honor and worship. Why do we come together? Why do we worship? Because of who Jesus is. And I say because of who Jesus is, not because of who he was. He is and has been and is to come. He is always. He is God. And that's whom we come to worship. Every knee should bow and every tongue acknowledge. The reality of Jesus, the reality of the truth that has come through Jesus to us, is something that we acknowledge, is something that we live out every day, truth known and acknowledged by everyone. Now, bowing the knee and acknowledging the truth does not mean accepting the truth or applying that truth to one's life. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? Just because someone acknowledges this truth, that someone may believe that that is truth, does not mean that that truth has become part of their lives. And I give you James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and they shudder. So, yes, the scripture says everyone's going to acknowledge that even under the earth. Do you remember that previous verse that we read? In heaven and on earth and under the earth, the demons believe and they acknowledge and they shudder. When you hear the name of Jesus, what comes into your mind and thoughts? When you hear the name Jesus, what comes into your mind and your thoughts? Well, it may partly be who's using the name of Jesus and how they're using that name, right? In the world in which we live, the name of Jesus is used in ways that don't necessarily honor him. And when I hear that, what happens in me? What comes into my thoughts when that happens? Or when I hear one of you use the name of Jesus and you're talking about your love of Jesus, you're talking about how Jesus has made a difference in your life, there's something else that comes to my heart and my mind and my thought. But think about that, especially as we're in this season. What is it that comes into your mind and your thoughts when you hear the name of Jesus? Or, when you hear the name of Jesus, what physical response is there in your body? What physical response is there in your body? I had a cousin with me, with us. Margaret and I had my cousin Jan with us overnight. I guess it was last week, wasn't it? Sunday night. And Jan has experienced some really difficult things in her life. Jan has been involved with works in Haiti, and she was a missionary in Africa for a number of years. And with those experiences, she has experienced some significant contact and involvement with demonology and with the work of Satan. And she also married into a family where her husband and family members were involved with the Masons. And these family members who were involved with the Masons experienced the reality of Satan's work and demons and demonology. And Jan's husband, as well as one of her sons, have experienced significant involvement with these kinds of realities, with demons and the work of Satan in their life experiences. And as Jan was talking to us about that, wondering what our experience had been in this area and the reality of this in the lives of people, I had a physical response. And, you know, I kind of, even now talking about it, I'm having a physical response. There are kind of chills that are going through my body. You see, we have actual, real physical responses to various things that we hear and see in life. As my cousin talked about this, she asked us about, you know, where we are in relationship to that. And my real response is, I try not to go there just because I know it's not healthy spiritually. And she asked, well, have you ever dealt with that with anyone? And my response to her was, yes, we have. In Ohio, where we were in ministry, there was a person who was in a place where this was a very real part of their lives that we, from a pastoral perspective, dealt with. And it was very, very difficult. It was very hard. And so it's something that when we experience that, there's a very real physical impact in relationship to that. Now, the truth is that Jesus overcomes all of that. And Jesus, the name of Jesus, has power over all of that. And so one of the things that I also experience is that the name of Jesus, at his name being spoken, there are similar kinds of physical things that happen to me. Not every time that it's spoken, But often there's that physical impact of the reality of the power and person of Jesus Christ in my body. Celebrate that. Realize that. Understand the dynamics of that. The name and person of Jesus, there is power and it makes a difference in our lives. And when I bow my knee, when I speak the name of Jesus, I want it to be with integrity and I want it to be something that makes a difference, not only in my life, but your life and those persons who I interact with. When you speak the name of Jesus with reverence and with force and with power, it makes a difference, not only in your life, but in the lives of those people around you. When you speak the name of Jesus, do you acknowledge him as your Lord, as your Savior? Do you acknowledge him as not only your Lord and Savior, but do you speak his name so that others can come to know the reality of his power? We're in Advent. We're talking about the coming of the Savior. We're talking about the coming of Jesus. Folks, this is an incredibly important time for those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. We need to anticipate and remember and think about the power and person who began as a child, who came into this world as a child, and who lived among us, and the difference that he is making and has made in our lives. There's a song that I'm going to sing now, and we're going to sing together throughout this Advent season. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. The names of Jesus, we're going to be talking about them during this Advent season. We're going to be singing that together in the coming weeks. We're going to close today, though, with another hymn. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Folks, the name of Jesus has power. Stand with me and let's sing with that reality of God's power through Jesus Christ.